Today is the 14th day of the month of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome to the deep summer in the rolling hills of Tennessee. It is wonderful to be here with you today. Today and every day. And I do mean every day. Every day. All the way here into our 20th year. And so for the 20th time, we have come to the 14th day of August. Without missing a beat, without missing a day. And so I am grateful to continue this rhythm. It has obviously become the fabric and rhythm of my life. I can't now, at this point, after 20 years, imagine this not being a part of my day, because it's a part of my everyday. I'm grateful that it's a part of your everyday, too, as we take the journey and continue forward. And at this point, in the Old Testament, we are reading through a beautiful book that I love getting to each year, the book of Nehemiah. And in the New Testament, we are reading Paul's letter to the Corinthians, known as 1 Corinthians. Another text that I love, not that I don't love all of them, because I do. But I'm grateful that we're here in this territory, and so let's take that next step forward. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1 through 9, verse 21 today. All the people gathered together at the square in front of the water gate. They asked the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had given Israel. On the first day of the seventh month, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding. While it was facing the square in front of the water gate, he read out of it from daybreak until noon before the men, the women, and those who could understand. All the people listened attentively to the book of the law. The scribe Ezra stood on a high wooden platform made for this purpose. Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah stood beside him on his right. To his left were Pedaiah, Mishael, Melchijah, Hashum, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. Ezra opened the book in full view of all the people, since he was elevated above everyone. As he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and with their hands uplifted, all the people said, Amen. Amen. Then they knelt low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Sibetai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Pelaiah, who were Levites, explained the law to the people as they stood in their places. They read out of the book of the law of God, translating and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was read. Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to all of them, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go and eat what is rich, drink what is sweet, and send portions to those who have nothing prepared, since today is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Levites quieted all the people, saying, Be still, since today is holy. Don't grieve. Then all the people began to eat and drink, sent portions, and have a great celebration because they had understood the words that were explained to them. On the second day, The family heads of all the people, along with the priests and Levites, assembled before the scribe Ezra to study the words of the law. They found written in the law how the Lord had commanded through Moses that the Israelites should dwell in shelters during the festival of the seventh month. So they proclaimed and spread this news throughout their towns and in Jerusalem, saying, "Go out to the hill country and bring back branches of olive, wild olive, myrtle, palm, and other leafy trees to make shelters, just as it is written." The people went out, brought back branches, and made shelters for themselves on each of their rooftops and courtyards. The court of the house of God, the square by the water gate, and the square by the Ephraim gate. The whole community that had returned from exile made shelters and lived in them. The Israelites had not celebrated like this from the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, and there was tremendous joy. Ezra read out of the book of the law of God every day from the first day to the last. The Israelites celebrated the festival for 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a solemn assembly, according to the ordinance. On the 24th day of this month, the Israelites assembled. They were fasting, wearing sackcloth, and had put dust on their heads. Those of Israelite descent separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their ancestors. While they stood in their places, they read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a fourth of the day, and spent another fourth of the day in confession and worship of the Lord their God. Jeshua, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Boni, Sherebiah, Bani, and Kanani stood on the raised platform built for the Levites and cried out loudly to the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabaniah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, and Petatiah said, "Stand up. Blessed be the Lord your God from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You, Lord, are the only God. You created the heavens, the highest heavens with all their stars, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to all of them, and all the stars of heaven worship you. You, the Lord, are the God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and changed his name to Abraham. You found his heart faithful in your sight and made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Jebusites, and Girgashites, to give it to his descendants. You have fulfilled your promise, for you are righteous. You saw the oppression of our ancestors in Egypt and heard their cry at the Red Sea. You performed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, all his officials, and all the people of his land, for you knew how arrogantly they treated our ancestors. You made a name for yourself that endures to this day. You divided the sea before them, and they crossed through it on dry ground. You hurled their pursuers into the depths like a stone into a raging water. You led them with a pillar of cloud by day and with a pillar of fire by night to illuminate the way they should go. You came down on Mount Sinai and spoke to them from heaven. You gave them impartial ordinances, reliable instructions, and good statutes and commands. You revealed your holy Sabbath to them and gave them commands, statutes, and instruction through your servant Moses. You provided bread from heaven for their hunger. You brought them water from the rock for their thirst. You told them to go in and possess the land you had sworn to give them. But our ancestors acted arrogantly. They became stiff-necked and did not listen to your commands. They refused to listen and did not remember your wonders you performed among them. They became stiff-necked and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love, and you did not abandon them. Even after they had cast an image of a calf for themselves and said, "This is your God who brought you out of Egypt," and they had committed terrible blasphemies, you did not abandon them in the wilderness because of your great compassion. During the day, the pillar of cloud never turned away from them, guiding them on their journey. And during the night, the pillar of fire illuminated the way they should go. You sent your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. You provided for them in the wilderness 40 years, and they lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. First Corinthians 9, 1 through 18. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, at least I am to you, because you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this: don't we have the right to eat and drink? Don't we have the right to be accompanied by a believing wife like the other apostles, the Lord's brothers, and Cephas? Or do only Barnabas and I have no right to refrain from working? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its fruits? Or who shepherds a flock and does not drink the milk from the flock? Am I saying this from a human perspective? Doesn't the law also say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, "Do not muzzle an ox while it treads out grain." Is God really concerned about oxen? Isn't he really saying it for our sake? Yes, this is written for our sake, because he who plows ought to plow in hope, and he who threshes should thresh in hope of sharing the crop. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it too much if we reap material benefits from you? If others have this right to receive benefits from you, don't we? Even more? Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right. Instead, we endure everything so that we will not hinder the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those who perform the temple services eat the food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the offerings of the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should earn their living by the gospel. For my part, I have used none of these rights, nor have I written these things that they may be applied in my case. For it would be better for me to die than for anyone to deprive me of my boast. For if I preach the gospel, I have no reason to boast, because I am compelled to preach. And woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward, but if unwillingly, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? To preach the gospel and offer it free of charge, and not make full use of my rights in the gospel. Psalm 33, 12 through 22. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen to be his own possession. The Lord looks down from heaven. He observes everyone. He gazes on all the inhabitants of the earth from his dwelling place. He forms the hearts of them all. He considers all their works. A king is not saved by a large army. A warrior will not be rescued by great strength. The horse is a false hope for safety. It provides no escape by its great power. But look, the Lord keeps his eye on those who fear him, those who depend on his faithful love to rescue them from death and to keep them alive in famine. We wait for the Lord. He is our help and shield. For our hearts rejoice in him because we trust in his holy name. May your faithful love rest on us, Lord, for we put our hope in you. Proverbs 21, 11 and 12. When a mocker is punished, the inexperienced become wiser. When one teaches a wise man, he acquires knowledge. The righteous one considers the house of the wicked. He brings the wicked to ruin. Okay, so in Nehemiah, we watched like yesterday, the genealogical records being pulled out and just an accounting of who came back from exile. Nehemiah calls everyone, like this remnant of people, once a bustling nation of people. We followed their story from Genesis all the way until exile, the Assyrian Empire and the Babylonian Empire conquering them. What's left of them finally gets to come back. They don't get to be a country again, but they get to come back to where they used to live. And Nehemiah calls everybody together. And the law, the Mosaic law, the foundational document for them was read in everyone's hearing. While different Levites were out among the people offering explanation and interpretation. And while they're studying and listening to this, the people realize that they're supposed to celebrate what is known as Sukkot, the Festival of Booths. And this is a commemoration of their freedom or liberation from slavery. Because as we remember, they were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. So staying in these mini, like, shelters reminds them that that's how they left slavery in Egypt and became a camp in the wilderness, and reminds them of their complete dependence on God. And so for the next week, the people observe this festival at the temple, which was the ancient place of pilgrimage. And that inspired, like that stirred the spirit within them. And they began to give their heart fully back to God in worship, in fellowship, in prayer, in confession. And that is That's kind of where we left the reading today. That's what they're doing. And we'll conclude that in tomorrow's reading. In 1 Corinthians, we see Paul having to defend himself, which he does a lot in the letters. And today he's defending himself against people who basically are claiming that Paul is exploiting for his own advantage. And it's not as if we haven't seen those kinds of accusations leveled at all kinds of people, including ministers. And it's not as if there is no basis for those kind of accusations in this world, because there is. In Paul's case, he's having these accusations leveled at him, and he's trying to defend himself in part to say, like, exactly what are we doing that everybody else isn't doing and that everybody isn't allowed? Like, that isn't seen customarily as normal. Like, don't we have the right to kind of stay where we are with you, share your meals? Like, don't we have the right to, like, travel with our wives? The other apostles that traveled with Jesus now are able to travel around with their wives. Peter does this. Or is it just us? Is it just me? Is it just me and Barnabas? Like, we don't get to do anything like that. We have to support ourselves. So, I mean, I guess there's like this kind of contrasted rationalization or justification for Paul dismantling the arguments and the accusations against him. He's explaining that people that are in spiritual service are people with the same needs as every human being. They're just called of God to do something very specific. And it's a hard job. And that is a fact. Ministry is a very... like, if you're not called to it and you get into it, you will probably get back out of it, because you'll ask yourself, what in the heck are you actually doing? This is not worth it. Unless there is actual compelling calling to stick it out. And so Paul is saying, like, it's hard. And we should be able to support ourselves through this hard work. That's a normal thing. It's an honorable thing. But Paul's trying to address the accusation that he's using his position to exploit people. And Paul's exasperated, because he's like, we don't collect anything, we don't do any of, we don't have these rights. What is our pay other than to preach the good news to you and give it to you free without charging anybody? So, like I said, assumptions about spiritual leaders, political leaders, influencers, creative leaders. This is a normal thing. Anybody who's in a public position, we love to dismantle and consume those people as if they are a consumable and a throwaway, something to be eaten up and spit out, not that they're actual human beings, people who hurt, who bleed, whose hearts are aching as well. So the fact that that's going on today, and the fact that we were reading of this in the New Testament, lets us know that this isn't a new invention. This is humanity. The Bible is full of examples of this. Remember Joseph, all the false assumptions that were leveled at him. Think about Moses and all of the constant grumbling and false assumptions about him in the wilderness. Think about David and the Psalms that we read, that he's crying out to God because of the assumptions that are made about him. We've read in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, Saul and David's life, and all of the false assumptions between these two. The prophets constantly, and we've seen so many examples of this, are facing false assumptions against them. Jesus faced all kinds of false assumptions against him. This is God. And let's step back and then realize God faces all kinds of false assumptions about him every single day. And some of them are ours. And so today we're seeing Paul follow a human tradition and dealing with false assumptions about him. And that really exposes something in us. Because we are willing to take an assumption and make it a reality. And we'll live as if that reality were true, even though it's invented. And we can do this about people that we have never met, that we do not know, or that we've briefly encountered, or that we hear sound bites from, or that somebody is passing gossip to us about. And this is devastating because it is an invention to live a false reality. And man, when this is done to us, it hurts. And we get angry and we get defensive and we try to retaliate a lot of the times, just trying to clear ourselves from these false assumptions. If our life story is told through like sound bites, fragments of conversations that we've had with people that we trusted who then go past them out in fragments, pulling them out of context and analyzing them with people that are not a part of the situation. And then things get filled in. Can you believe she said that? What do you think she meant by that? And then on and on and on and on, inventing a false reality, creating offenses, picking up offenses, carrying offenses. These things are so incomplete and they are so harmful. They are devastating to humanity. They are devastating to us. So Paul has to face this like everybody else. And we get a lot of his defending himself. And so we'll watch this as we go through his letters. But for today, let's just name what it is. Slander is evil. Gossip is evil. Building false realities based upon assumptions is evil. That's living a lie and passing around lies as if they are true realities when they are not. They are completely incomplete. If we're doing that, I mean, I can say this and say like, well, I'm in front of the mic, so I'm a little bit of a leader and I can say that's evil. That's not the truth though. The Bible says this is evil. So it's evil if we're doing that. If we are doing that, it is evil. So maybe some vigilance and some self-reflection, catching ourselves participating in these things, and just imagining what it might be like if we hear something that does not ring true or is incomplete, if we wonder, instead of just buying it and passing it around, if we just wonder, what's the whole story here? How do I get to an assumption-free understanding of this person or of this situation? If we put that into practice, then we will very quickly realize we have to do the same thing with God. Things are being passed around that are not true about God. That is heartbreaking because it's misrepresentation and it pushes people away in the same way that it pushes people away from each other. So Holy Spirit, we invite you into that, that this is one of these moments where there is nowhere to run because we are all guilty of this and we have all kinds of ways that we mask it We have all kinds of ways that we slander each other and give it spiritual frosting on top of an evil cake. Or we pass around gossip like it's a bag of donuts when it's a bag of crap. Help us, God. Because this is a part of the human condition. It's part of us trying to get an identity as compared to somebody else. And we love to consume these stories. And we love to not do the work of asking the right questions. Like, is this the whole truth? Is this all there is to know? And we rarely will actually press into something with somebody. We'll just keep the secret and pass the secret. And it's poison. So Holy Spirit, come into this behavior. We all know what it feels like, and we all know what it feels like to perpetrate. Forgive us, especially for the ways we've misrepresented you. But when we are doing this, we are misrepresenting you. And so forgive us, lead us into all truth. Help us to get in the process of becoming self-aware enough to catch ourselves doing this, so that we can take a step back and see the damage that it does and the way that it gives us a false identity. Lead us into all truth, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That is the website. It is where you find out what's going on around here. The Daily Audio Bible app does that and a lot more. And that is in the App Store. So check that out and be familiar with it. All things are about to be new there. As soon as we can get there. We've been working on all things new for years. But all things are moving along. And so be familiar that there is a Daily Audio Bible app, and that will always be the home base, but it's about to be a lot more than that in the near future, hopefully. And so be familiar with that. We're celebrating our 20th year. And right now, I mean, we've been celebrating with all kinds of different things. Right now, we've focused in on one of the pieces that are the DNA of the Daily Audio Bible, and that is our wind farm coffee and tea, which has been with us, I'm gonna say 17 of the 20 years. And that comes just from a love of coffee on my part. I mean, I've always loved coffee, and for that matter, tea. My mom, God rest her soul, was a tea aficionado. She loved her iced tea especially. So I love tea as well. But Daily Audio Bible, you know, and coffee, they kind of paired for me every day of my life. And it just became possible over time that we could roast our own coffee and kind of blend and source and be our own coffee and bring that into the world, because not every one of us, but so many of us are going through a drive-through and grabbing a cup of coffee and spending money on that, or we're making it every morning. And so it's something that we consume, and it's something that we're doing anyway. And this is kind of the larger question, was what if we could actually source and create something that was as good as you could get anywhere, like as good as really fresh and freshly locally sourced and roasted coffee with care, and actually like a boutique coffee roaster, and send it out, and it not be a lot more expensive or any more expensive. And what if that could help to throw logs on the Global Campfire and be part of the story. And so that came to be. And Wind Farm Coffee was born, and I shared, I guess about a week ago, that that comes from Ezekiel 37, that idea of a wind farm. That's, we haven't gotten to Ezekiel yet, but there is a scene in the book of Ezekiel, a valley where a battle had taken place, and a lot of people died. And so, and they were never like buried. And so this whole valley was littered with skeletons that had long been dead and picked over. And the bones were dry and they're just strewn across the valley. And God asks Ezekiel, what do you think? What do you think, my man? Can these bones ever live again? And of course, what a odd question. Because the answer is, of course not. But Ezekiel, in his wisdom, knowing he's speaking to God, gave the right answer. Only you, Lord, only you could know the answer to that question. And ultimately, Ezekiel is invited to call to the four winds. North, south, east, and west, call to the four winds, the breath of life. And sure enough, those bones, they reconstructed. And sure enough, flesh was put back on them and a beating heart in them and the breath of life in them. And they became living again. Something long, long, long dead and hopelessly gone could live again. And that scene has just always resonated. And way back in the day, I just really felt impressed that that is some of the work that we do here. Every day we are calling to the four winds, the breath of life. And it is the breath of the Word of God that breathes life into us in all of the corners of the world. And the name Wind Farm came. Like, that is what we're doing every day, calling to the four winds. This is a wind farm, the breath of life, 24 hours a day, never stopping, never ceasing. There isn't a moment of any day when the daily audio Bible is not being spoken somewhere on this planet. It never ends. It is always happening. So that's Wind Farm. And we named our coffee that. And so now we're in our 20th year of 7 days a week calling to the four winds, the breath of life. We're bringing the scriptures read fresh every day. And we wanted to celebrate with all of the different facets that are a part of our story. So we've been really celebrating with music, which is a part of Jill and my origin story. Part of what gave us the gifts and skill to even have ever been able to do what we're doing now and to repurpose all of that into what we do now. And coffee's been a part of our story. So we thought, okay, how do we find the right, like, how do we strike the right chord? How do we find the right beat here to have a 20th anniversary coffee? And we're here in the southern part of the United States. So we wanted something kind of southern, kind of fits geographically where we are. We also wanted to really source high quality and be something that really tasted delicious. And so a lot of recipes, a lot of taste testing, a lot of work. But we've come up with Southern Pecan. Wind Farm, Southern Pecan, 20th Anniversary Reserve. And that's what it is. We've sourced a bunch of coffee. And when the reserve runs out, however long it lasts, well, that's how we celebrated. And we'll keep it going as long as we can source it. And 20th Anniversary Reserve, commemorating the 20 years of being here together. So let's have a cup of coffee together. We're also bringing out our brand new bags, our brand new coffee bags. they've been black for a long time and really cool. Like, I mean, we have really cool packaging. Everything that we've ever done, so much of what we've done here comes from our creative giftings. Like, this is how we did what we do and how we made a living. And so we've really striven. We've really tried to be excellent in everything that we do, and quality in everything that we do, with all of our heart and all of our might, to be honoring to God, but also just, it's the aesthetic. I mean, we're artists, and so that aesthetic matters. So we've redesigned the coffee bags. We're really, really hoping to bring all this stuff out in the 2.0 app, because there's a brand new Daily Audio Bible shop with all kinds of new things coming. But it's just taking us longer, and we just got to get it right. We've really got to get it right. And so we're just moving ahead, because it is our 20th year. And so we're introducing our brand new coffee look, brand new coffee bags with the Southern Pecan 20th anniversary reserve. So yeah, like I said, let's have a cup of coffee together, or two, or five, or ten. Let's have a month of coffees together. Let's do this, and grab yourself some. I promise you that when you open the bag, yeah, you're gonna be delighted. It is such an aromatic, such a pleasing aroma. And hopefully as you have your coffee and we go through the scriptures together, you feel the connection. I do. Like I say all the time, because it's true. It's like literally right now I'm looking at my clean canteen. And it's full of Southern Pecan 20th anniversary reserve right now. So when you have your coffee, I'm having mine. And let's have some coffee together and spend some time together. You can find the 20th Anniversary Reserve Southern Pecan at the Daily Audio Bible Shop on the web or in the app. And so grab some today. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you humbly, profoundly, deeply. We could not be here as just simply as a matter of fact. We would not be here if we were not in this together. So I am grateful that we are. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Meg from Florida. Sister in Christ, I heard you on the 7th, lifting you up in prayer. I also want to tell you before I start that it's good that you noticed what you're going through early. You're being aware of what you're going through, and you're bringing it to the Lord, and you're bringing it to other members of the body of Christ. That's good. We should be joyful with one another, and we mourn when others mourn. So I know about anxiety. I've experienced it. It really messes things up. Hard to live like that, especially when we know that the Lord says we should not be anxious, when he talks about worrying about clothes and food. But anxiety is still real. He acknowledges it. And it's about finding out. It's more than just finding out what the root cause is, which you can, and you can get help. But it's really about taking it to the Lord, who we have faith and trust in. So, Lord, I lift up Meg to you. You know her situation, and you will help and guide her through it, because you work all things out. And then at least she knows, from what I see in her request, is that she knows she could get help. She knows that she could go to you, and she knows that there's others out there. So, Jesus, be near her. Spirit, be near her. Father, comfort her and help her.
Hello, this is Amy calling from Troutdale, Oregon, and I just listened to the August 6th podcast and listened to the prayers at the end and heard that sweet sister whose husband had chosen to step outside of their marriage before, all was forgiven, and then was recently discovered to have stepped outside of their marriage again. So, sister, I just want to bring you before our precious Father. Most High God, beautiful Savior, thank you, God, that you are with our precious sister. God, her heart is broken. You can hear it in her voice from start to finish, and that is so valid and so understandable and so justified. And Lord, she's struggling, while she knows you are there, she's struggling to see you in this, Lord. And God, would you show up and be her perfect guide? I mean, stepping through this is just, it's so difficult, and the heartbreak is just so deep. And I mean, it's just so much. And Father God, I pray that you would hold her so very close, Lord, that you would get her the help and the support that she needs, the wisdom to make the right decisions, to make good decisions. God, that you would be her buffer and her protector in all of this, and hold her heart, give her great, great wisdom. God, I thank you for this in advance. In your son Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, family. It's his little Cherie in Canada. I'd like to ask for prayer. Well, first of all, I'd like to give a praise report. Some of you have been listening long enough that you know Miracle Myrna. Miracle Myrna has asked for prayer a number of times, and God has answered. Thank you for praying for her. She had a number of rounds with bed bugs, and right now she is bed bug free, praise the Lord. She's also had rounds of leukemia, and she's undergone treatment for that. And right now her blood levels are normal. So praise the Lord for that. Myrna wanted me to ask for continued prayer for her. She really needs to find somebody to help her with cooking and shopping, because she's not able to do that herself. She can pay someone, but she's just looking to find the right person, and it's been a struggle. So, and she also really needs to sleep well. She struggles with her sleep and her energy. She does have fibromyalgia, so she really is praying for healing for her body, so that she can do more things for herself, like cooking and cleaning. But right now she's not able to. So if you wouldn't mind praying for Miracle Myrna, I know she'd really appreciate it. Thank you so much for standing with her, even though you don't know her, but you do know her in the spirit. So Father, please continue to help Miracle Myrna, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
For years, I've struggled with grief, so much so that I would end up in psychiatric hospitalization. Death always puts me in a dangerous and rapid downward spiral. What seemed like many unanswered prayers has actually been God working behind the scenes to change my heart when it comes to grief. Today, I am a testament of his faithfulness. I've laid the heavy yoke of grief at the feet of Jesus. And because of that, I am proud to say that losing my hamster 2 weeks ago did not land me in the hospital, Today, suicide is no longer an option. So if you are struggling with unanswered prayers, know this. God is faithful, and there is hope in the name of Jesus.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. It's August 9th, Saturday. My name is Carolyn from Superior, Wisconsin. I've been listening for 4 years and praying along with you. This is my first time calling. My husband, Mickey, is in the hospital. Last Sunday, he had strange symptoms, dizziness, confusion. So we went to the hospital. He has two small brain tumors. We've been testing all week. We're still not sure what it is. They've ruled out a few things. But tomorrow, he has a needle biopsy into the tumors. So please pray for my husband, Mickey, and I, for the staff at the hospital, for the neurosurgeon doing the biopsy. Oh, I'm scared. He's such a good man, and I can't imagine my life without him. So please lift him up. Give us strength and peace. I love you all so much. Thank you.
Good morning, Dad family. This is one traveling chick from Texas calling in to pray for the gentleman whose girlfriend had eye surgery. And I think the stitches will be out by now. Today is what? August 9th. I think she got the stitches out on Thursday. Father God, thank you for healing. Father, I ask, Lord, that you heal her eyes properly, Lord God, that no additional procedures or surgeries are needed, and Father, that the swelling goes down, the bruising goes down, and her sight is returned even better than before. We ask this in His Son's Jesus' name, believing and receiving. Amen. I'm also requesting prayer for myself. I think I came on here a couple months ago after being furloughed after 28 plus years from the federal government. I have been searching for work since, and it's very difficult starting over as a 54-year-old and have to compete in such a competitive industry in the way the economy is going. So I'm asking for prayer, not just for a job, but something that's going to use my godly gifts to bring me some income, something that I'm going to want to wake up to every day and be glad about it. So I'm asking for your prayers. Again, this is One Traveling Chick. I really appreciate it. Have a great day, Dad family.